No books, no quotes, no talk, no nothing. Oh, you can tell it's summer, right? Nadine, thank you. Oh my gosh, that was just so beautiful. Yeah. And congratulations on your wedding. Years and years of wedding happiness for you. May you be blessed with just a wonderful, wonderful marriage. So here we are in the month of Freedom of Choice, and we talked about freedom a lot, right? Freedom Rings the first week, and then last week Peter Boland was here as a guest speaker, and he talked about real freedom. And so this week we're moving into the choice part of the choice of freedom. So today's talk is The Choice is Yours. And Reverend, I just blanked. Harry Morgan Moses wrote a little story years ago, and I want to read it to you. It's fabulous. About choice. And he says, the waitress has worked here since time began. She is ageless and calm. Her eyes can see through to the end of the world. She smacks her gum and gives the customer a grin and says, may I take your order here now? Her pencil is poised to write the order on the pad, and the customer says, I don't know exactly what I'm hungry for. I really don't know what I want. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm really sorry this is taking so long. I'm so stupid. And in her discomfort and confusion, the customer is groping for just the right words for the right order, and the waitress yells up, one don't, one can't, and a side order, a shame. She stands behind the counter ready to serve another batch of cold reality. She's heard this order before. Oh, I don't care about the money, the customer explains. Hold the money, the waitress hollers. The cook quietly removes the cash from the plate. A new customer bursts into the diner. I'll have talent and drive and determination. I'll be a top caliber professional writer. I will write a book that helps many people and easily makes me rich and famous. And the waitress laughs and gives the order to the cook. One successful bestseller smothered in money with a side order of fame. It's already been delivered, said the cook. This is the Earth's universal order pad, where you always get exactly what you think you deserve. Would you like to change your order now? To change your order. So, welcome to the theme, the freedom of choice. That's what we're doing. And we discussed, like I said, we discussed Freedom Rings, we discussed the with Peter Boland then, real freedom, and so today it's all about choice. The choice is yours. We are always at choice. Remember Alice, when Alice stood at the fork in the road, and she said, which road should I take? Well, where do you want to go? Said the Cheshire Cat. I don't know, said Alice. Then said the cat, it really doesn't matter. If we don't know what we want, how can we make an informed decision? When we don't know where we want to go, how can we make an informed choice? If we don't know what our intentions are, how do we know we're headed in the right direction? Ernest Holmes said, life is ever ready and willing to become to us what we think it is. It'll be a lot or a little, rich or poor, happy or sad, abundant or scarcity. We do the choosing and we live with our choice. The choosing is done by what we think and the way we think, not just sometimes, but all of the time. Always remember, regardless of the way we have chosen in the past, we are still free to choose again. So everything is a choice. Everything is a choice. Love, right? There's a song, right? Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Robbing a bank is a choice. Maybe not a really great one, not a life-affirming one, but it's a choice. And we always have choice. But everything has consequences. Every choice has a cost. We're not exempt from the consequences. And you know, sometimes the cost is just not having the other thing you didn't choose. That's all.
Say, for example, we start off our day, right? Start off our day. Man, 5:30, that alarm clock goes off. Why on earth we want to awaken ourselves with an alarm clock is beyond me. But anyway, they're noisy and they're startling. Anyway, 5:30, the alarm clock goes off. You're at choice immediately, aren't you? You just woke up and already you're faced with a choice. Do I hit the snooze or do I get up? Right? So you hit the snooze. So 10 minutes later, what happens? The alarm goes off again. Do I hit it again, right? Am I like really trying to squeeze out those next 10 minutes? Each step along the way, we have a choice. When we finally do get up, 2 snooze buttons later, 3 snooze buttons later, 4 snooze buttons later, we have a choice. Do we put our slippers on or we just run to the bathroom barefoot? That's another choice. So here you are, 5 or 6 choices down the road. You haven't even gotten out of bed yet. And you've already made about 5 or 6 choices. And the rest of the day is just that, isn't it? A series of choices we must make. A lot of them we make consciously, some of them we make unconsciously, but the day is a series of choices. Research suggests that we make over 35,000 choices a day on the average day. Think about that, over 35,000 choices. So let's go back to the morning, okay? So did we push the snooze button 2 times, 3 times, 4 times? Did we make a choice to hit the snooze button so many times we have to forego the shower and just jump into the clothes, right? Forget breakfast, I'll grab a bagel at the office, jump into the car and rush to work and try not to get pulled over for speeding? Every single thing is a choice. Every single one of those things is a choice. All of our lives we're making choices. We're making choices every moment of the day about food, right? Chicken or fish, whatever. About what to watch on TV. Wimbledon was this morning, Game of Thrones is tonight, yay. Okay. You know, we should be incredibly skilled at making choices by now. We've been making them our whole life. But you know, when you look at it, sometimes, many times, we make decisions for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with what we desire. Some decisions are fear-based. Some decisions are based on expediency. Some decisions are based in laziness. Some decisions are made in apathy. Some decisions are made by default, just unconsciously, because I've always done it that way, right? We make decisions for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with our own best interests. You know, and then even not making a decision. Sometimes we decide to not make a decision, which in itself really is a decision, right? I'll just decide nothing and let whatever happens happen. But that's a decision too. Ernest Holmes, in the introductory course, he said this. He said, the power of choice with which man has been endowed is either his greatest blessing or his greatest curse. And really, it kind of is. All right, he goes on to say, properly understood, it can lift him to the heights. Misunderstood, it can drag him into the depths. He is free to choose anything he wishes, but he must accept the responsibility for his choices, because the inexorable law will make his surroundings according to his choices. And that's what we're doing. We're co-creating every minute of every day based on the choices we're making. So let's look at some of those different ways we do make choices. I mean, we make choices out of fear a lot of times, right? You know what I'm talking about. You know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. You know that saying, right? We all know that saying. Better choose the known, because at least I know that. I'm familiar with that, my quiet little life of desperation. I'm okay with that. Choosing the unknown is too scary. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And so now we choose those things because they're safe, and I know them, and I'm familiar with them. The unknown can be far worse than the mediocre life I'm living now. And then there are 2 sayings that we go back and forth between all the time. It's like watching a tennis match, by the way, right? You have on one side, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I'm going to go for it, right? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And on the other side, what do you have? A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. Oh, I don't know anything about birds. I don't know anything about bushes. But it's the safe route. Right? It's the safe route. I'll take the for sure thing because I know it and I have it and it's familiar. But our soul calls us to try new things. Our soul doesn't want us to stay here in status quo and just be in the familiar. And if you're an expert at everything that you're doing in your life, you're not growing. If you are an expert in every facet of your life, you are not growing. We have to try new things. We have to experiment. We have to be outrageous. We have to be courageous. We have to be adventurous. It's how we grow and we learn things. We want to try new things. We want to move. We want to try new things. We want to stretch beyond our self-imposed limitations. But we're afraid to because we don't know what's out there. We have a little sphere of availability. That's our little bubble that we live in. I know everything in here. It's great. Everybody knows me. It's like being at Cheers, you know? It's a little world, but everybody knows me here. It's great. But our soul is calling for us to have new experiences, to grow beyond our self-imposed limitations. And a lot of the times that we are afraid to. And so we stay inside the bubble where it's safe and it's little. We do the whole, you know, bird in the hand thing. But we really want to be brave. I really want to be brave, and I want to live my passion, and I want to follow my bliss, and I have bills to pay, right? That's the rationale. And I have bills to pay. So I'll stick with my little job because it's what they know me there, and it's safe, and I got a pension, and whatever, whatever, whatever. And here's my tombstone. It says, "Here lies Patty. Could have done great things, but had to pay the rent." Right? But had to pay the rent. So we don't want to make decisions out of fear. Because when we make decisions out of fear, we are not looking at all of the options. That's really what happens is we get almost like tunnel vision. The fear makes us have tunnel vision. We fail to look at all of the options. We just zoom in on the one that alleviates the fear. We just zoom in on the one that alleviates the fear. So we want to choose wisely. We want to choose wisely. And we are at choice as long as there are options to choose from, right? I mean, if there's only one thing, you really don't have a choice in that moment. There really is just the one thing. But when there are options, this or that, right, you have something to choose from. This or that. All of the above or none of the above. A, B, but not C and D, right? A and D, but not B. All kinds of, we all taken those multiple guess tests, right? You know, we have options. So we're making the choice. We have multiple things to choose from. And we have to proceed not in fear, but in faith with those choices. We are free, absolutely free, to make good choices and bad choices, right? That's what free will is. We are good to make good choices, and we are free to make bad choices, and we get to experience the consequences of either or. Ernest Holmes said, if man remains good because spirit makes it impossible to be bad, then there is no real goodness. And there is no real goodness. Then we're little robots. We're little automatons of spirit. So we have to have free choice. We have to be able to make good choices as well as bad ones. So when evaluating those choices that we get to make, it's best not to be too impulsive. We don't want to just grab for the first thing and just totally disregard the outcomes of the others, right? You want to weigh things. You don't want to decide things unconsciously. You don't want to decide things by default or by fear or unconsciously, because I've always done it that way. It's all about, what do we hope to accomplish? I have a decision to make right here, right now. What do I hope to accomplish? Right? I know when John and I sit in the office sometimes and there's a program that we're thinking about beginning for Vision or something like that, right? What's the first question? What's the goal? Right? That's always a biggie. So before we're ready to make a decision, it's like, what do we hope to accomplish by whatever? By starting this program or starting this class or whatever it is. What do we hope to accomplish? Is it in keeping with the vision and mission of our center? Right? That's another question. So goal is our first consideration when making a decision, making a choice. So it's not fear, but goal. Goal is a good one. And then we look at the options. We can do this or that or this or that, right? If there's only one choice, that's what you get. But if there are options, we get to choose from among things. And then after we look at the options, then there are the outcomes. Okay, so if we do this, what's the likely outcome, right? We look down the road, we futurize. What happens then? What happens if we choose this? What happens after that, right? And then finally, the decision has to be made. But when you go through that process in choosing, you're choosing consciously, you're choosing wisely, you're choosing the direction of your life, you're choosing the direction of this center, you're choosing the direction of whatever. So there you go. That's it. I mean, good decisions. That's good. That's good decisions. Goal, options, outcomes, direction. G-O-O-D. That's how to make good decisions. You look at the goals, you look at the options, you look at the outcomes, potential outcomes. You make a decision. Ernest Holmes said, a law does not care about the results of its action. It has no conscience. It only knows to act. It is impersonal. And that's what we talk about the law all the time. It is infallible. It is impersonal. It acts the same way all the time. It acts the same way no matter who's using it. Impersonal, infallible. We are free to choose the direction of its action. That's what we do. We align with a law that always works for everyone under every circumstance, and we align with that, and it does the work. You know, there's a saying, and I was looking at it the other day, that says, if you know better, you do better. I know you've heard Oprah say it. I think Maya Angelou said it 100 billion times. If you know better, you do better. I don't know that that's necessarily true. If you know better, you do better. If that were true, we wouldn't have 6 billion self-help books on the shelf. We know better all the time. We just don't do it. You know, we know better all the time, and we still do the same old stuff. You know, it's true, right? I mean, you look at the books in our bookstore alone. There's 6 million, you know, there's exercise books and diet books and self-help books and build your esteem books and all kinds of stuff. And we've read them all, haven't we, by now? We've read all of them, still do the same stupid stuff. You know, we should eat healthy food, we eat junk food. You know, we should exercise, we're sitting in front of Facebook. Yeah, come on, I mean, like, how many times do we know what the right thing to do is and we don't do it? You know what we want to accomplish, but we can't pull ourselves away from the computer, right? I want to write that book, but let me check and see what my friends are doing on Facebook. A lot of the times we do know better. We know better, we just don't do it. Making a wise decision means going through that process. What is the goal? What is the goal? What are our options? What can be those possible outcomes? What is my decision? We do what we want. We don't necessarily do what's best for us. So when we awaken, we use this good method and we change what we do. And it can't go wrong. It can't go wrong. This is all mental science. This is what Ernest Holmes taught. This is the practical part of our practical spirituality. We immerse ourselves in this universe of all possibilities. And we know that what we place our attention on grows. We know that. What we place our attention on grows. We know that it is no more difficult to manifest a good choice than it is to manifest a poor choice. We know that. It takes the same amount of energy. It takes the same amount of our intention. It takes the same amount of the power behind it. Our power that we put into it. We know that. So it's a matter of awakening to what are the life-affirming choices. What are the life-affirming choices that we make? And how do we make them? And that's how we make them. Good. We make good choices. Goals, options, outcomes, decisions. So we go within, we pray, we meditate. That's a huge part of it, isn't it? Who has a daily meditative practice? Everybody? Everybody should have their hand up. There'll be a quiz on this. A dedicated spiritual practice, a place where you get in touch with that inner peace, a place where you get in touch with that higher power that you are, that individualized seed of perfection that is nestled within us. It is that place that has all of our answers, and it is from that place that we get to co-create our lives. That's where those good decisions come from. They don't come from fear. They don't come from impulse. They don't come from laziness. They don't come from default. They come from our deep and abiding connection to the spirit that we are. So we go within, we pray, we meditate, we get in touch with the higher self, the divine within, and we inquire at that level, at the highest level of our being, and we choose wisely from there. We cannot be steered wrong from there. So that's where we go. That's how we get there. That's what we do. The choice is yours. Thank you so much.